Jean Lapierre, qui nous désigne la Madeleine, est sympathie pour la Grande Terre 2001. C'était la.
Come to Mango Bay every day. Real food.
Mango Bay Restaurant, located in the heart of downtown Montreal, 1236 Mackay Street, Suite 201. For reservations, please call 514-875-7082 or visit mangobay.ca. Real food.
Let's get together and feel all right.
CKUT Radio.
Radio.
Sound waves in the air.
CKUT.
Montreal, Canada.
CKUT.
Welcome to John Abbott on the Air on CKUT 90.3 FM. I'm your host, Anna Abbott. What with work, school, hobbies, passions, friends, and family, do you have a hard time finding balance in your life? I know I do, and I'm sure many of you out there do as well. Our guest, however, seems to have a pretty good handle on things. Today, I'm joined by Jason DeRoche, youth pastor over at Lakeshore Evangelical Church, DJ, music producer, as well as husband and father to two beautiful children. Now, Jason has some very exciting career changes coming his way, which we will be discussing in just a little bit. So, Jason, hi. Thank you for taking the time to sit down and talk with me.
My pleasure.
So, let's just dive right in, plain and simple. How long have you been working in ministry?
Oh, it's been around 7 years.
Wow. And what was it that first motivated you to become a youth pastor?
That's a tough question, actually. I'd say it was a combination of things. There's certain aspects to it that I was always attracted to. So helping people, being around people. It's also the type of job that you have to keep learning and keep kind of growing in yourself. And so that's something that I've always looked for in a career. And you kind of get to be your own boss in a lot of ways too. So that's great. So yeah, I guess there was a number of things that drew me to it. But overall, I think just being really serious about my faith, that was something that I wanted to share with others and help others grow as well.
Mm-hmm. You clearly love what you do. That being said, what are some of the daily or even weekly challenges you might face in this line of work?
Let's see. Well, any job when you're working with people, things are always changing, you know, and each week can bring new aspects to it, right? So you're always trying to maintain a balance between staying true to what you know and then changing to suit new people, kind of new trends, what people want. That's probably one of the weekly challenges. You know, what should stay the same? What should differ? And then, yeah, sometimes people just aren't happy, maybe aren't happy even with your approach to things. So you're always kind of having to stay in good communication with people and help them to understand kind of what you're doing and what you want to see happen.
Yeah. I'm going to move on a little bit to your music. When did you start producing music professionally or otherwise?
Let's see. Well, I started younger. So I think I was 12 or 13 when I first picked up a guitar and really got serious about it. When it comes to electronic music and dance music, that was in high school, probably kind of mid high school. A friend of mine and myself, we found some software and we were using CDs to sample and making beats to them and just experimenting and trying out stuff. And I think that was a moment where I was just super excited by the technology, the kind of sounds that I could make. And I was hooked from there. And electronic music was kind of brand new at that time. And so there were groups that some of them still around today, like the Chemical Brothers, the Prodigy. These groups blew my mind in terms of like how they sounded. And so that was really inspiring. I wanted to be able to do what they could do. And then I kind of stuck with it ever since.
And what scared you the most about pursuing a career in the music industry?
Two things. instability, especially financially. You know, it's almost like winning the lottery in terms of doing really well in it. It's pretty rare. And so, you know, going into it that it's going to be tough. It's going to be hard to make ends meet. And I always knew that I wanted to have a family. So that's tricky, right? That's scary. And also, you're putting yourself on the line, especially when you're writing original music. You're putting yourself out there. This is you. So if it doesn't go well, it feels like rejection. You know what I mean? It can be hard on your self-esteem. That's a scary thing as well.
Yes, absolutely. But you've clearly done very well in the music industry. I'm going to take this opportunity to quickly segue into our song featured for this interview. Now, this is Always Gonna Be, written and produced by Jason DeRoche, featuring Ben D'Annunzio, coming your way.
Said I'm always gonna be, always gonna be your friend. Said I'm always gonna be, always gonna be your friend. Said I'll never leave, I'll never forsake you, oh no. Said I'm always gonna be, always gonna be your friend.
Welcome back to John Abbott on the Air on CKUT 90.3 FM. I'm your host, Anna Abbott, and I am here with Jason DeRoche talking about his music career as well as his work in ministry. So Jason, when working on this song, Always Gonna Be, what were some of your main inspirations?
Well, I love house music, so I always try and produce in that genre, and there's certain producers that kind of have a funky but also really analog sound, so I was drawing from that. And disco almost influences, because that's always kind of been a thing within house music that I've been drawn to. But then when it comes to the lyrics, it was actually my son that gave me the inspiration. It came out of a conversation with him where he was asking, you know, will I be his friend? And then that's when I said, well, I'm always going to be your friend. And actually the melody just all of a sudden popped into my head and I started singing it to him and I built it from there.
That's beautiful. And yeah, you have a son and you have a daughter. Do you want to talk a little bit about them and your wife?
Yeah, sure. So my wife's name is Randy and we've been married now for 11 years. You know, we've moved around quite a bit together. We've had a lot of adventures together. And yeah, we have two kids. Our son's name is Dorian. He's 5 years old, just started kindergarten. So that's kind of crazy. And our daughter is almost 2.5 now. And her name's Morgan.
And what with your work at church and your side music career, how do you ensure enough time spent with your family?
Yeah, it's, you know, it's one of those things that's hard to find the balance. And I'll admit that there's times when I probably spend too much time on either work or music. But I think it's just, you have to keep taking stock and don't let things suck you in too deep, I guess, if that makes sense. So you have to keep asking yourself each week even, you know, am I keeping a balance here? Am I seeing my kids enough? Am I spending enough quality time with them, with my wife? And that's helpful because then you can look back over the week and realize, oh, you know what, maybe I didn't. Okay, so this week coming up, I need to make sure to block out a bit more time to be with them. But, you know, it comes down to your values. You got to kind of have the motivation there as well, which takes some self-work. You know what I mean? You got to work on yourself to get there because some people, if you're not careful, your values can get twisted where you get more into being a workaholic or something like that, right? Where your motivation is just, I just got to achieve, I just got to do better in my work, and then so your friends and your family can suffer. So you got to kind of keep doing that self-work to keep reminding yourself just how important your kids are, just how important your spouse is, and to kind of keep up that motivation there too so that you don't get into unbalance and all of that stuff.
Now, Jason, I'm going to be blunt. I'm very curious. You are a busy, busy man. You are a family man, and you work hard. You take pride in doing a good job. Do you get enough sleep?
That's something I prioritize. I wouldn't be able to do all these things if I didn't get enough sleep. So, yeah, I try my best. I mean, because Dorian's in kindergarten right now, he's starting way too early for me, so that's been tricky. So I learned long ago that I have to make sure I get a good amount of sleep if I'm going to be able to function and just be fun to be around.
Okay, so Jason, like I said previously, you have some exciting career changes coming your way. What is coming up for you in the future?
Yeah, so I just accepted a new job in Ontario, in Brockville, as a lead pastor of a church. So that's a big switch up, but it's we're really excited about it.
I know that the hiring process was probably over the span of several months, but why did you choose to now pursue this new job?
Yeah, I think it's kind of always been in the back of my mind. A lot of pastors do that where you start out as an assistant pastor and then you kind of work from there to become lead pastor. So in some ways, it's natural progression. But yeah, I think it just kind of felt like this was a good time to move in that direction. It's weird to say, but COVID kind of helped with that too. You know, because of COVID, things changed a lot in my current position. So it was kind of like bringing it together, sensing a bit of a change. Youth ministry is amazing, but the older you get, the harder it is to do the late nights when you have young kids and all that, you know, and be out a lot of evenings. So, you know, as we talked about before, trying to keep the balance of family and work, that contributed to it too. So a number of factors, but just kind of sensing that this was a good time to make that move.
Now, just as a general question, what are your hopes for the future in regards to your either music career, this new job that you've just accepted, your family, etc.?
So hopes, let's see, new job, hoping to really reach a lot of people, help a lot of people kind of grow in their faith and their spirituality, in their relationship with God, all of that. But also in my music career, I just want to keep increasing the quality of my stuff. Really, to me, that's what I love doing. I love pushing myself and pushing my boundaries, and I'm never satisfied to stay where I'm at. So to keep evolving in it, keep raising the standards, trying new things with it, really digging deeper into just what my sound is, because that's always a hard process as an artist. You know, it can change over time, but you kind of want to find what's unique to you. And I think a goal would be to get my music heard by more people, get it into the hands of more DJs, maybe get picked up by bigger record labels, that sort of thing. That would be a long-term goal.
That's a great piece of advice for either aspiring artists or young adults who are now coming into the working force and trying to find their place and trying to find a balance in their life. Well, unfortunately, we are going to have to wrap things up here. The time really flew by on this one. A huge thanks to Jason DeRoche for being with us today and for providing us with a little insight into his multifaceted life. And remember, guys, you can find Jason on Spotify, Beatport, iTunes, SoundCloud, as well as on his website, jasonderoche at wixsite.com. Finally, a quick reminder to all you folks tuning in, don't settle. Go after your hopes, go after your dreams, because with time, dedication, and hard work, you can have it all. A steady income, a good job, all while pursuing your passions and leaving time for your personal life. Just look at Jason. Once again, this is John Abbott on the air on CKUT 90.3 FM. I am your host, Anna Abbott. Thanks for tuning in.
Hello all, my name is Dylan Jacobs with CKUT 90.3 FM, John Abbott on the air. And today we're going to be talking with a professional angler named Malcolm Jacobs, or also my father. And we're going to be asking him how he's been, you know, enjoying fishing, what he does for fishing, and how he's been dealing with it during the pandemic. For the first question, we're going to be asking how the pandemic has affected you fishing.
The pandemic hasn't really affected my fishing. In fact, I've had more time to go fishing than in past years. And the only difference has been a lot more people on the water, I guess, because they couldn't go out and do other activities. So they've found fishing as a new thing to spend time with their families and whatnot.
Would you be able to tell us a couple companies that have sponsored you over your fishing career?
Companies that have sponsored me so far. Let's see. So we have Shimano, G. Loomis, Power Pro, Jackal Baits out of Japan, Under Armour, Oakley Sunglasses, just to name a few.
Those are some big name companies. Now, do you enjoy fishing, or has it lost its luster over time?
Yeah, I definitely enjoy fishing. It's always been something I've enjoyed doing. The fact that there's a pandemic going on hasn't made it less enjoyable. If anything, when I go out, I just tune out all the things that are going on in the world, and I just concentrate on the task at hand and just enjoy the time that I'm out on the water.
Now, do you have any favorite places that you go to fish? Say you don't know where to go, you don't know what place you want to go to, and you just think, I'll go back to this one. This one I enjoyed a lot.
Favorite places to fish. First place would be the St. Lawrence River, anywhere from, say, Lake St. Francis, Lancaster through Cornwall, then the upper St. Lawrence River from, say, Morrisburg right to Lake Ontario, and third place would be Lake Champlain. All three of these bodies of water are relatively close to home. They offer the angler a multitude of species and are considered some of the top places in North America and as around the world for multi-species fishing. And there's many tournaments that are held there from U.S. to Canada throughout the year because of that.
Do you have any proud accomplishments that you have had over the years with you fishing that you would like to share with us?
Proud accomplishments. The fact that I've been doing this for probably close to 15, 20 years, that I've managed to get some reputable companies as sponsorships, and just a few good outings in past tournaments. First place, second place, top fives. It's always enjoyable.
Are there any species of fish that you typically would fish for in tournaments or preparation for tournaments, or just when you're out in the water enjoying yourself?
our tournaments specifically are for fishing for bass, whether it be largemouth bass or smallmouth bass. Both species are native to Quebec, Ontario, pretty well all of North America. You won't find them much further north of, say, Val d'Or, but everything south of that, you will find them. Tournaments consist of top five biggest fish over an eight-hour period of the day. So you're always catching fish as you get, another fish. The smallest fish that you have, you replace it with the next biggest one, and how it's measured is a cumulative weight. So they take the top five that you have, they weigh them, take a combined weight, and each team or each angler has the same way in which they weigh their fish. And at the end of the day, whoever has the biggest weight and down wins.
All right. Now, how would you typically prepare for a tournament?
People find it funny when they ask how you prepare for a tournament, because you actually do practice for tournaments. Essentially, we find out the body of water that we're going to be on. Biggest thing is to study the fish that you're going after. Its likes, its dislikes, what it eats, where its comfort zones are. Then you break down the lake based on that. We'll go out for 1, 2, maybe 3 days out on the water and scope out different areas that we figure would be high percentage areas. We will practice actually fishing in those areas with lures with no hooks on them, so that you don't actually catch the fish, but you see where they are. We'll use electronics in the boat, including cameras, to make sure that the species we're targeting is actually on those spots and to get a better idea of what size they are, and in preparation for the day.
Are there any tournaments that you remember that you enjoyed a lot that you have done in the past?
Tournaments I've done, fish tournaments mainly in Ontario, Quebec. I've done a couple in the U.S. I belong to two organizations in North America for fishing, FLW and BASS, in the Northern Divisions. I've done tournaments on the St. Lawrence River, Lake Champlain, many lakes in eastern and northern Ontario. Biggest tournaments I've done are FLW tournaments in Lake Champlain in Plattsburgh, New York. These tournaments, generally, first place is roughly about 100,000 U.S.
Are there any places that you would like to fish? If you can go anywhere in the world, is there any place that you'd choose in specific?
Places I'd like to fish? If you were to ask that question to a lot of people, they would probably answer with where we live, the St. Lawrence River, just because it's such a sought-after destination. If I got to pick a place I'd like to go, probably Mexico. They have some incredible fishing there. And next would be Japan. Believe it or not, Japan has probably one of the biggest fishing tournament leagues outside of North America. Actually, the second or the tie for the world's largest largemouth bass was caught out of Japan about 5 years ago. So they have quite the bodies of water there as well.
Well, thank you for joining me for this interview today. My name is Dylan Jacobs with CKUT 90.3 FM, John Abbott on the air. That was an interview with Malcolm Jacobs, a professional angler, on how he enjoys fishing, what he does for fishing, and a little bit of everything, really. You've been listening to John Abbott on the air, CKUT 90.3 FM. Thank you.
Hello and welcome to CKUT 90.3 FM. We are on John Abbott on the air, and I'm your host, Ekaterina Glukova. And for today's week, we are going to interview Alexei Glukov, who is a 3D modeler for video games. Hello, Alexei.
Hi.
So, first question. When and what interests you to start 3D modeling?
I'm not sure. I guess I've been interested in that since my childhood. I've always been a fan of video games, and I always wanted to create my own. And that's why I chose my career path, I suppose.
What styles of video games do you model for?
All kinds of games, and it's not just 3D games that I model for. I also do some sprite work for 2D games. I guess mostly action games. We made some games that were more towards climate activism. That was really interesting to get into, and it was been nice to work with the people that were involved.
How many games have you modeled for?
It hasn't been that many. Mostly it's been for school and certain competitions. It's certainly below 15. I don't claim to have that much experience just yet. I'm still learning, but I guess a lot of the professionals in this line of work can say the same thing.
Do you like to make games alone or with a group?
Creating games alone is possible, but not advised. It's a big undertaking. Imagine if one person would have built a building all by themselves. It's kind of the same thing. So mostly I like to work in a team where tasks can be distributed, and also you meet some nice people along the way.
What competitions do you go to?
I've done a university competition for Ubisoft, but mostly it's locally organized competitions. A lot of the schools in Montreal organize them, Concordia, McGill. Now that COVID is here, it's going to stop for a little bit, but they're going to come back eventually.
With what game did you win?
We made a game about a sailor trying to come back to port. One player controlled the sailor and his ship, and the other player controlled the lighthouse, which was supposed to guide to light the way for the sailor to come back to port. And we won the award for the best multiplayer aimed game. So that was a lot of fun, and we got some nice prizes out of it as well.
How many people were in your team, and how long did it take to create?
So the event was actually only a 3-day event. It was a game jam. Basically how those work is that you're given a 48-hour window to create a video game from start to finish. And obviously nobody expects that game to be amazing or lengthy, but you do what you can. Our team was 8 people, which is a larger team than usual for these kind of events. Usually you have a 3 or 4 person team, or some people even work in pairs or alone. So it's been a little bit of a challenge to manage this many people, but we pulled through and we won.
What are some of the things you hate in 3D modeling, or modeling in general?
Without getting technical, I guess it's the inspiration. Sometimes you sit down in front of your computer and you just don't feel inspired, or you start to model something and it's not coming together. Some days are better than others. The same can be said, I guess, for any creative profession. And any person in that profession would understand what I'm trying to say.
With COVID around, what do you think will happen to these competitions? And will they ever come back? Or will it be more of an online thing?
I believe they're going to go online for a little bit. But as COVID dies down, and obviously I'm expecting a vaccine to be released sometime, after that, I believe they're going to come back, and I'm sincerely hoping and expecting them to.
What advice would you give to people who are just starting out in 3D modeling?
I think the best advice is to not be discouraged. It's a very, it's a big field. There's a lot to learn, and it's an ever-changing field as well. There's a lot of professionals in the field who are continuously learning, and sometimes it can be a little bit discouraging, knowing that, hey, maybe the stuff that you learned 2-3 years ago might be obsolete or on its way out. But if you're interested in this sort of thing, in 3D modeling, game creation, you're also, you know, you're expected to be passionate about it. So I don't believe that a lot of people would necessarily have this problem down the line. It's just in the beginning, I would say, don't get discouraged and push on.
Thank you so much, Alexi, for being our guest today and spending your time with us.
Thank you very much for having me.
Alexi Glukov, who is a 3D modeler for video games. This was John Abbott on the air on CKUT 90.3 FM, and this was your host, Ekaterina Glukova, signing out.
We are out of time, so I'd like to thank our listeners, our audience, for tuning in for the latest episode of John Abbott on the Air. This has been Patrick Adelstein, and this has been John Abbott on the Air on CKUT 90.3 FM, and we'll catch you in the next episode. Take care, everybody. Yeah.